Now, a story about a team of boys from Wairarapa who've set up a honey business to help fund their university education. Sally donned a bee suit to see what they do, but first stopped by a market to watch the young sales team in action.
So that's the crystallised version, so it's quite gritty.
It's a beautiful spring day, and the Ashura honey stall is humming at this Christmas market near Masterton. Members of the start-up sales team are offering tastings and fielding questions from a steady flow of customers.
So it'll start off like this, coming from the barrel.
I'm George Eschenbach, and I kind of pride myself on being the sales manager.
George is the youngest of the Eschenbach boys. They teamed up with their friends, the Williams boys, to produce and sell Ashura honey.
So I'm 15, Freddie's 17, Thomas is 16, Henry's 18, Jack's 18, and my oldest brother is 21.
George, Freddie and Thomas have got good at schmoozing the customers while their brothers have been at uni.
So have a good day. Oh, you can put your stick in there. Big smile and a happy hello. That normally gets their attention, especially with the older ones. They always love young boys just setting up business.
So you're playing on your charms, really, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
I do more the stuff at the stalls and farmers' markets, whereas the older guys do the hands-on work out at the farm and making sure like there's no diseases or transporting it around the farm.
And how did you get the sales manager's job?
It was kind of, everyone else was unavailable for the first week of the farmers market. So me, mum and dad all kind of went down there, us three. And I kind of just enjoyed it and kind of prided myself as it. And now I'm kind of seen as it, so.
What do you think you're good at and what have you learnt in the sales business?
Just to be enthusiastic, because without enthusiasm, people aren't like drawn in or anything. They're kind of just like, oh, that guy doesn't want to be here. So by like having a positive attitude and drawing people in, it just makes the customer happy as well as yourself because you made the sale. So. So that's the crystallised version, so it's quite gritty comparing to this liquid.
Did you get any tips from anyone at all about how to sell?
A lot of tips from Dad, because he does sales rural insurance, so kind of learnt. That's where he taught me just to, no matter the mood, you just got to suck it up and be happy and just make the customer feel comfortable, really.
Dad is Peter Eschenbach.
Yeah, we had bees as young kids, so it's not unusual. So probably 30 years later, we had an opportunity to look at getting back into bees, and really the whole motivation was how do we offset costs for the boys' university fees, and it's something that we can do as a family. So we joined up with Guy and Kim Williams, and they've got a huge farm, so we've gone 50-50 with them, so and our boys go through the same years, so it's been quite a good sort of arrangement. We've done all the exams, and like I do a bit of the husbandry, I oversee that with the boys, so very rarely do I ever go out by myself because someone's going to come with me and work the hives. Two of the boys are at university at the moment, so like Thomas and Freddie and George are all at school still, so they get tapped, and they're always out there with us. Yeah, it's just fun working with kids, and then you see them out selling it and getting pretty enthusiastic, and it's, you know, they start off stuttering around, but now they actually love the product and they're pretty passionate about it because I've actually seen from building the boxes right through to starting off with little small nukes and then going to full hives, and then actually harvesting was our first year. And getting told by Manuka New Zealand that this was really high-grade honey.
When do the boys get time to do all the work?
Between rugby and tennis and everything else in school. After hours, late nights. In summer, sometimes we work to 2 or 3 in the morning because it's balmy and you're in the zone, so you just keep going. So and on school holidays, that's our busy time, so they're free. But they've got their daytime jobs as well.
This is to fund their education, or is that just a marketing?
No, it's definitely was the intent is to fund some of their university fees, and you know if they can get $10,000 a year each out of it, that's what they're looking for, just to subsidise them so they don't come out with huge debt. Work hard, play fair. That's how they play rugby. So they apply this to this business, and you know they'll get rewarded for it.
And how's it going financially so far?
Yeah, good. This is the first season of selling, so we'll get a lot more honey this year. The market, if you look at the honey market, that's dropped since the Manuka has changed the whole market, and there's a lot of people hurting out there. There's beekeepers closing up everywhere. I shouldn't say everywhere, but there's quite a few closing up who've been at it for quite a while. So it's about actually just getting out there and marketing it, and a lot of beekeepers in the past haven't marketed their own honey. They've just sold it like wholesale and made a good living. So we're sort of doing the other way around, I suppose, is we're marketing it and selling it ourselves. And it seems to be going really well, and it's on the internet and getting sales off that. And yeah, so it's about actually having a good storyline. And people buy off kids more than they buy off us. So we can, mum, you know, like Jane, myself, and stand behind here and things like that. But they'll always talk to kids. And they like the kids' enthusiasm. And they know they're doing the work. So it's an authentic story. And people like it and they buy it.
The M1's crystallised, and that's just quite a pasty sort of one. And then it just, as it decrystallises, it goes into a raw, it's all pretty much raw. But that's raw honey, and that's just runny honey. So that's just a bit thicker than that one, but it's, yeah.
Each of the boys has a role to play in the startup, which has been in the planning with the help of their parents for the past couple of years.
Tell me what you do, Thomas.
Oh, I pretty much sort of just help out around the stalls and just like Jules, try and do a bit of business. They haven't really got involved with the bees out at home. Yeah, or just sort of
the
stuff.
Do you like this side of the business better than the actual making of the honey?
It seems a bit more cruisy. Less stings and less painful until you get snobbed by the old customers. But
no, does that happen often?
No. You sort of reel them in, sort of get the trick of the trade, I guess. And yeah.
That'll be $20, thank you. Have a great day and enjoy your honey. Yeah, it's that social side of always being friendly and like even not judging customers. People kind of have that appearance like, oh, he may be like intimidating, but deep down, like everyone's kind of kind, so can't really enjoy your honey.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. I will.
Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
I suppose the hardest part was just trying to learn a bit actually about the honey, like what to say and stuff like that. So $20 for a tub, for one of those, and the little ones on top are $10.
Okay. And the money side of it, is that something that's urging you to go forward?
It's helpful. Well, we want to for uni fees, so it helps in the future. So if we do get in debt, well, we've got a backup plan. But yeah, it's also just work experience for life. Thank you.
And where have you picked up all your knowledge about honey so that you can tell the customers?
A lot of research and out in the field. From being out in the field, because Dad was the kind of main one who kind of taught all of us boys how to work with the bees out on the farm and how to care for them. So, and then from there we've kind of all just learnt how to do it.
In the last few months, the boys have received the official tick to be able to sell the honey.
If we didn't get that, we wouldn't be here today and selling any honey. So that was a big one. With just a lot of the registration is just keeping the honey clean and making sure that you're not putting any yucky stuff into the honey. We use a lot of visual kind of ticks when we're pouring honey to see if anything's yuck in there. We also just have a whole like sanitised room, just where it's strictly like clean shoes, clean hands, like sanitised. Because if we have any stuff going to the honey, well, food poisoning, and if you have that, well, that's your business over.
The Eschenbach boys' mother, Jane, helps with the design side of things, including the stall's rustic look.
A lot of people have actually commented on that, how cool it is.
Kind of just use kind of nature and pine cones just to bring out the honey of like the yellow and the brightness of it. And we also use like red and cherries and just lemons and stuff, and that just brings up the honey and makes the store look less boring. So it kind of brings out the colours.
Whose idea was it?
That was Mum's, and yeah, mainly Mum's. We first set up and we've kind of just adapted to the. So today us boys will set this up without Mum's help.
It may be early days for the money-making side of things, but George says there are other advantages to being involved.
So I do commerce, which is actually really helpful for learning business. The next year I'm doing economics.
Is this business helping you with your studies?
Oh, yeah, I think it is, because I've had straight E's this year, so that's quite good. It's good just to have that work, like that life kind of experience, because when you're writing it, you're like, oh, that's relatable, that's easy to write about.
Well, I know you're only 15 at the moment, but can you see yourself going into a sort of a business career, being an entrepreneur in any way after this experience?
Yeah, I guess a few people have called us entrepreneurs, but I don't know, see what happens, and if it keeps going, well, I'll keep going as well.
I'll let you get on with your job, because you've got customers flocking.
It's time to check out the honey production unit, which the older boys are involved with. And before we get into our bee suits, Dad Peter runs through who does what.
Jack is probably the most astute around the husbandry side of things. So he runs that and looks for disease and makes sure we've got good brood patterns and things like that. And we all try and find the queens, because they're quite difficult, because some of them haven't been painted, so you've got to be quite quick with your eyes to actually find them. So he does that side of things, and George Hargood, he does the grunt work, all the lifting, and, well, in Jack's term, he's a gopher, because it's hard work, it's heavy work. So, yeah, but they're all getting quite skilled at it. What I find is young eyes are very sharp compared with old eyes. You know, like, they can just spot things so much quicker. Even just a minute change of cells and things like that, you know, you're looking for varroa and you're looking just for little pinholes, and they can find all that. They're quite quick at finding the queen bees compared with myself, and we're looking at the same thing. So they put it down to age. I say it's young eyes, so it depends which way you want to look at it.
So you've got
Big George, yeah.
Big George,
yep,
and then we've
Henry.
Got...
And then we've got Harry, he's just all action. You just tell him what to do, and he just grunts out the heavy work as well. Yeah, everyone's just got a role, and they just sort of fall into it. And, you know, one day someone else might be the lifter. And
is there anyone that stands out as the decision-maker?
Probably Jack. He just quietly goes about things and tells people what to do. He's an organised person, and he will direct the workflow.
And you've had other boys wanting to join the group, haven't you?
Yeah. They all want to come out and experience it. Because bees are very therapeutic. It's very calming. If you can get over the thought of being stung, and that very, very rarely happens.
Can get hot in these outfits.
Oh, it gets very, very, very sweaty.
Have you ever been stung? Badly?
Have I been stung?
Have we got an opportunity for you, Sally?
How likely is it that I'm going to get stung?
Kind of unlikely. I've been stung for a while.
What's happening here?
Talk us through it, Jack.
We're just seeing whether or not there's enough brood, because if there's not, you'll get the weak one and merge it together. So brood is enough bees, or see, like, the brood's down the bottom there. And the lighter stuff's normally honey, so there's actually no honey in this one. So that's basically all just baby bees.
So you see there's quite a few drones on this one.
Mm-hmm.
They're the bigger, fatter ones here.
Male bees. All they do is eat. They don't do anything to help the hive.
Mm.
So what we're actually going to try and do is see if we can find the queen at the same time, Jacko. Keep an eye out.
The queen's looks like a normal bee, but long.
It'll probably be...
on the bottom.
Bottom, so let's just try and take this one off.
Put a little bit on. Move these boxes.
What's the smoker for?
Stops them swarming as much, because sometimes you get the old angry bees, especially midday, because that's when they're most active. So you takes the likelihood of being stung away.
So calms them down as well and confuses them. Well, this is the varroa strips, which is for the American fruit brood, which is all clear, which is really good, so it means that they're not diseased. So we'll take those out, because they've been there for about 7 weeks, 8 weeks. It's a parasite, and it can wipe out the whole bee industry, so you've got to be very vigilant. We've put it in twice a year. So, Jack, if we have a look at this one now, and we'll start...
So we're going to go through all of it?
Yeah, we'll see what the brood looks like.
And look out for the queen, are we?
Yep.
So there's a lot of honey, but not much to brood.
So that's really good brood pattern. See how solid it is? So they're just building it out there. So this brown bit is good and solid. So if you look over this side, it's a little bit more patchy, but it's still pretty solid, which is...
There's more of it.
Yeah.
Jack, how much study have you done about bees? Was it mostly learning on the job, or did you do some research?
I'd done nothing before we started. Done a little bit more now, and like because you talk to different people, and a few different interesting little facts you pick up here and there. So it's surprising how like complex, but like because little things can just ruin a whole hive. Like if you moved a hive from here, like 5 meters away over there, a lot of them would die because they wouldn't find their way home because of that beacon. So if you're going to move them, you have to go in at night when they're all in, like close it and tie it down and move them like that. Just see how fragile they are, but vital at the same time. Well, no bees, there's not going to be too much life, so it's pretty fundamental that we actually look out for them and make sure the bees get first priority, really.
Well, I'm feeling quite comfortable around the bees now. I've got them swarming all around me, and I'm actually feeling quite comfortable. Did it take you a while to get comfortable with the bees?
Yeah, because we didn't have the smoker at first. And when we got some nukes from up in Napier, which is just when you get, like, lots of bees in a small box, basically. And then, they were black, and they were real aggressive. And we didn't have a smoker, and we got stung a lot. I got stung 17 times in one evening.
Even with your suit on?
Yeah, I was getting stung in the chest, because I was wearing a thin top. And, like, so I was fairly new to it. I was in shorts, and I was bending over, getting stung in the knees.
One of the boy's friends, George Hargood, was also keen to get involved, and today he's working the smoker.
The smoker pretty much just sort of makes the bees more docile and more calm while you're trying to like interact with them, and especially it's like essential around times like this during midday when they're more active. So yeah, it's a good tool to have.
And that seems to be what you've been doing. That's your main job, but what else do you do in the business?
Oh, we'd sort of just share it around, just lifting hives, doing the smoker, and
there's a lot of different things you've got to do with it.
Yeah.
And George, why did you want to get involved in this?
I just thought it was a fun time with the boys, really. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's often just me, George and Henry. We get sent out with a few tasks and you get the music going and you bobbing along at night.
Yeah, no, it's good.
With
it's
the bees, really hanging out with the bees.
Yeah, that's really good.
George, is this something that you think you might want to get into later, or is it just fun at the moment?
It's just fun at the moment, but I could see myself owning a hive somewhere down the line.
And you're studying as well?
Yeah, I'm down at Otago studying marketing. So,
are you bringing some of your marketing nous to the business?
Not as of yet, but I would be more than inclined to if I was asked.
We will be asking George to look at our internet digital marketing, because I think we can do a whole lot better than we've done. We've got the basics, but it's about getting the right messaging, getting into the right areas and spaces and into the right market. So,
I definitely see it's definitely a huge theme at the moment with most businesses. There's a huge social media presence these days, so it could be something to look into to develop that further, for sure. Yeah.
Now, you've got this story, the boys and the bees. Mm. How important is it to have a story?
Well, I feel like it could definitely push home, maybe sway some people to maybe buy from us as opposed to someone else if they sort of connect with the story. So, yeah, it could be a nice angle.
Because there are a lot of honey businesses out there. I saw at the fair there were at least 3, maybe 4, 5 honey stalls.
Yeah, but they don't have the story which we have, so, yeah.
One of the other things we're sort of dreaming about, and we don't quite know how to do it, so that's when we're going to pull these boys in the next 12 months together, is how do we go international? So there's a bit of a glut in the market at the moment, and we want to actually promote Wairarapa honey overseas and get all some of the growers have got all this glut there, but actually just find a vehicle, I suppose, a digital vehicle for us to get it into Europe. But we're actually promoting the Wairarapa bee industry, just and see where that goes, because there's a lot of families out there who are reliant on it for an income, and they're really struggling at the moment. So we sort of see that as could be a possible give back, and if we can just really promote Wairarapa as a region to the world and things like that, that's fantastic too. So that's a dream. Don't know how we're going to do it, but these boys with their marketing skills and university expertise is hopefully going to help us, and we've probably got connections, so we want to try and tap into that and just move the product and promote Wairarapa general. So,
and what's special about the Wairarapa honey?
Oh, besides being the best honey in the world, and like the clover-based floral pastoral, it's just sensational. Like, you've tasted it, and wow, did you buy 5 or 6 punnets? I'm not sure, but but yeah, there's a beautiful story around the Wairarapa. It's a great place to live. It's sheep and beef. There's a bit of dairy. There's a bit of everything going on here, and there's a big organic push as well in this area. And I think there's a great story to be told. You always got to keep thinking what's out there and how you can do something better, smarter. How can we help the industry? Because I think if you're going to be part of an industry, you've got to get involved in it and make sure it's strong and solid and people can make a living off it.
Peter Eschenbach talking to Sally Round.